from the heart of Dubai, where tomorrow is being built today to the world. Welcome to the CTO Show with Mehmet. Here, we redefine technology and reimagine possibilities. With Mehmet, delve into the riveting realms of AI, cybersecurity, and digital technology. Experience the thrilling highs and lows of startups. Immerse yourself in the spirit of entrepreneurship and witness the future of business innovation being written in real time. Now, without further ado, let's tune in and explore the future.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the CTO Show with Mehmet. Today, I'm very pleased joining me from the heart of Silicon Valley, Bao Tran. Bao, thank you very much for being on the show. The way I love to do is I keep it to my guests to introduce themselves. And I have a reason for that, because I believe no one can introduce himself or herself better than themselves. So the floor is yours.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thanks so much. Well, I came from this space. Originally, it was engineering. Then my mother had an illness. So then I had a law degree. And then people saw my technical background and said, what? You're perfect for patent work. So I started out my life helping out Compaq with its generations of early laptops, inventions. Eventually, I moved to Silicon Valley. And I was with a big firm, and so we worked with big, Adobe and Intel and other companies. But then there were startups that started coming, and one of the startups was the company that made the Invisalign product. So I had the fortune of working with the founders of Invisalign, architecting the portfolio, and seeing how a startup company started from scratch and move all the way through an IPO and then maturing out. And so that was a very interesting journey. So, once you get hooked into the startup journey, that continues. And I subsequently left Invisalign, but then I help a lot of startups deal with the patent portfolios and deal with fundraising. And I came across your show. So I thought it was very interesting. And certainly with the audience from the Dubai region, that part of the world, I think this is an exciting area to discuss a little bit about the value of patents, intellectual property, how you can use it to protect your go-to-market strategy, as well as increase your valuation. A lot of people think of patents as an expense. It's basically a sinkhole of money. But actually, when you have a patent application as an early stage company, you can go and tell your investors that, hey, my patent application is worth at least $150,000, upward. And you probably have spent $10,000 to initiate the process. So that certainly is at least a 10x return. You're beating the venture investors, the benchmark for investing. So there are a number of factors in a number of strategies where you can build the IP and then leverage it. So I'm interested in sharing what I've learned over the years in working with startups, with people that listen to your show, Mehmet.
Thank you very much, Bao, for this introduction. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's a topic which, I love to hear more about it. But before we deep dive, I would say now, because majority of the time I put in mind that people who made a startup before, they have learned it in a way or another, maybe in an easy way, maybe in a hard way. But for first-time founders, Bao, like when they should consider or how they could know they are actually up to something that really need to be protected, whether, a patent or, any other intellectual property protection mechanism, patents in the U.S., they are the way to go. And of course, to the point, we know like major companies in early stages, for example, the Google, the IBM, all these big names, it's one of their major assets. So, but for me today, if I'm a first-time founder, how do I know that I should take this route? And how do I start, in the process?
Well, absolutely. You know, when you start a company, you inherit, as a startup, you inherently, you're thinking that your business is doing something super unique, that it's going to go through this traction curve and it's going to go scale up to be to serve millions of users, right? So by definition, what you're doing has to be interesting and significant. And so in my view, every startup should, you know, consider protecting that unique value that you bring to the world. And in particular, when you deal with investors, most investors, they refuse to sign confidentiality agreement because they just deal with so many companies that they don't want to be bound restricted by, let's say, the very first company they talk with. So in the nature of the power balance, if the investor is not going to sign, you're probably going to agree to that because they have the money, right? So then what's the best way to protect yourself? Then the only way to do that is first to patent your concepts before you talk to investors. There are many examples of companies that ignore this at their peril. So for example, you go to Kickstarter. Kickstarter, in a way, the customer is the investors, right? What do you do in a Kickstarter is you make a nice video, you describe everything about your idea, and then you publish that to see if you have traction. Now, if you're not protecting yourself at that stage, you are exposing yourself to some companies who might just purposely sit back and look at your success on Kickstarter. If you are successful there, they know that you have an idea that's going to have traction. And there are numerous cases of companies that they see competitors on their doorstep before the Kickstarter process complete, before they raise the funding from Kickstarter. So I think before you tell the world what you're going to do, you should protect it. And as I've said before, the protection in the form of intellectual property can in itself has value to the company. It can increase your valuation, right? So having said that, what are the things that you should think about in patenting? Why do you, are there some ways of looking at a product and picking out features that you should consider? So the first thing you do is you go look at your slide deck, your investor pitch deck, right? What is it that you're telling investors and customers and suppliers that are, what features make your company unique? So you start from there. And then you add a few more questions. Okay, so this is my value proposition. How am I doing this? And so when you go down that list and you iterate a couple of times, you're going to come up with maybe 5 or 10 features that are important. And then you would then flush out how is it done. And then you take that information and you turn that into a patent. And then if you decide that, let's say, the features that you've done, you couldn't patent them. So for example, if you're doing AI and you're doing, and part of your feature set resides in how you train your neural networks, the training part of it may or may not be patentable. And so then if that's the case, then you might want to consider keeping part of that as a trade secret. So if you choose to do that, then you need to be very careful in what you disclose to the world in your presentation on that trade secret, because once you disclose a secret, it's gone, right? And so in fact, there is a natural interplay between patents and trade secrets. So in the patent, you have to disclose how you do it. And so that means it's going to be public information, but the patent protects your exclusivity for 20 years from the first filing date in the U.S. In other jurisdictions, they vary, but it's generally going to be between 15 to 20 years somewhere. So that should be enough to give you a head start against the competition. Once you've done that, what happened is invariably in a startup journey, you're going to have pivots, right? You're going to, after 1 year, you might decide, well, you know what, this path I went down, it didn't work out. Let me switch and do something else. And so it's natural then that you also patent the pivot path. And eventually what you have is a portfolio. And then you can decide, okay, on the path that I didn't take, maybe it wasn't valuable to me, but that's an asset that I can sell and I can raise funding from that asset, or I can license it. So there are numerous ways where you can benefit and exploit the intellectual property asset that you have. So that's an overview. Mehmet,
But this is really perfect, and I think it should resonate with a lot of founders, because if they feel they are up to something very interesting, you know, they should protect themselves, as you said, protect the business. And you know, to your point, and I think this is maybe something that probably the first time founder they don't know, and of course, because especially if they are on the tour of raising funds, so this will to your point, it can enhance their market valuation, which is, you know, absolutely perfect. Now, in your introduction,
let me check. Yeah. You know, you look at Kickstarter. A lot of people on Kickstarter do not protect the ideas. They just simply blast out to the world in videos how I would do it. This is how the product would work. And think about it. I mean, if I'm just a manufacturer somewhere, it's easy to sit back and see what companies have traction and just clone them, right?
Yeah,
and absolutely. And it's the same with software. If you have a software idea, and once you launch it on the internet, guess what? It's not that hard to reverse engineer software.
No, definitely no. It's not. It's especially in these days with the age of AI, you know, it's easier than ever, 100%. Now, you mentioned something about in your introduction. So now we understood when they should do it, why they should do it, and how it's affecting their valuation. You also talked about like how these well-crafted IP portfolio can guide them as startups into their go-to-market execution and the business strategy. So can you shed some light on this aspect, how you know, the IP portfolio can help them in executing their go-to-market strategy?
Well, absolutely. So when you go to market, well, you know, you formulate all these marketing plans and you advertise your products and your strength and what specific market it serves. All of that information, the competition can research on the internet, right? Your distribution channel, that's going to be known. You know, your product, obviously, your website describes it. So, you know, referencing that Kickstarter analogy, people can go in and look and study how you're doing it. And that information can be quite valuable. It can save you people a lot of time. But now imagine if you tell people that you're patent pending, then it's going to start sowing some clouds in the mind. Oh, maybe they're patented, so maybe I shouldn't exactly copy the product. The trademark, let's say if now they have trademark, the branding, I couldn't possibly use something that's similar enough to confuse customer there. You may have some copyright also in let's say in your slogan or in your video. And so you have different layers of IP that you can go to wrap up the your company in a blanket of protection. And the more of a network effect you have, the more powerful it is. So think of it this way. You wouldn't own in your stock portfolio a single company, right? I mean, even though as powerful as Apple is or Google is these days, the conservative wisdom is you should diversify and have a basket of ideas. So the way you confuse the competition is to have a basket of intellectual property rights, have three or four patents, have a couple of trademarks, have some copyrights and design rights also as well. And so when you have a various layers of protection, it makes it harder and more confusing for somebody who is intent on copying you to do it. It raises their uncertainty, and that cost can give them, they may be able to design around your patent. In general, there's no patent that's foolproof, but the value of the patent is that it blocks paths from them. the, you know, the various bridges that they can go to build a competing product. So if you have more patents that block different roadblocks, it creates different roadblocks, then what you have is you're slowing down your competitors from attacking you. And if they are attacking you, you certainly can assert that the patent. And the more patents you have, the harder it is for them to shoot down. Think of it like, let's say you're trying to shoot down one missile versus an ICBM group of, let's say, 10 missiles. It makes the job of defending a lot harder. So in general, for companies that's raised substantial amount of funding, let's say you raise your Series A and you go to Series B, I recommend that you go and develop a network of IP, including trademark, a lot of patents, and trade secrets and copyright as well. And these days, with the advent of AI-based software to help you do the first draft of patents, you can do this very cost-effectively. It's not going to cost you a bundle. We have companies such as Power Patent that can, you know, you can give it a set of features of your product, and it can create a very good first draft of what your invention is about. And then you can polish it up, and then you hand it over to a law firm to file it for you. And in that way, it won't cost you an arm and a leg, number one, and you can do it a lot faster. So technology itself is coming down to reduce the cost of patenting.
That's great, Bao. Now, one thing, if I want to, I like to summarize some points that attracted my attention. And I've seen this because I've worked for, tech startups before. And, when I used to go to customers and say, hey, like, this technology is patent pending, right? So, yeah, it resonates because, these guys mean they are innovative. They are up to something, different. Let me hear them. So it's very important when you say just these two words, patent pending, right? So
exactly.
So it's very, very, very important. The second thing, what you mentioned about, building this network or like portfolio of things. And as you said, because I've seen, successful companies that have done this as well. So sometimes it's like a motto or, like a small header, for example. Of course, I'm making this out of my mind. I don't want to mention a company specifically. We are the best. Of course, this is not a trademark, but let's say. So you take this, or customers loves us, right? So you trademark this. And, because every time people see this term or this motto, they will remember your startup. So this is why it's very important. That is a very good tactic. Now, you mentioned something about when they move from Series A to Series B and so on. So in your opinion, Bao, like how this can, building this portfolio and, doing all the route to have a proper IPO, a proper IP portfolio, affect their IPO. In other sense, when they decide to go public, how this can play a role in this journey and what could be the positive sides of it?
Sure. So a patent by itself has certain value, but it really, when it's combined with a business that's growing, that's where it's worth in the billions. So we've involved with many inventors who came up with ideas that are, just ideas by itself and not affiliate with a business. You can sell those patents roughly between $150,000 to $300,000, if they're not connected to a business. Now, when you connect it to a growing business with sales and profit, that's where the true, the value of patents, they really shine there because they amplify the exclusivity that you get. And so that means the cash flow, the valuation of a company is based on a cash flow, right? So if you have a certain cash flow that's growing, and you can see the path of growth because, the company that's going to go public is, they typically have, a curve, the J curve, right? So the profitability is rising dramatically. And imagine if you can tell investors, well, project this forward in, 20 years into the future, we have this infinite growth curve with infinite profitability. Your valuation is going to be significantly higher. Contrast that with a company that doesn't have IP. When an investor checks for defensibility, they're going to make the argument that, hey, anybody else can enter the business and you're going to face competition as soon as you have traction, as soon as you have this hockey curve effect, right? So the real value of patent in a startup is where it's downstream, where it's really growing fast, and you need to preserve that that exclusivity of that growth rather than facing, 5 or 10 competitors jumping into the space. So with one of the companies I was with when they went public, the first few years, it was like five or 10 patents. And then I think by the time they reached Series C's, we were doing like 30 patent applications a year. And then they went public. At that point, we were doing like 40, something like that, a year roughly. And so you can see how the portfolio builds over time. And I think that portfolio has two things. Number one, like you say, when you tell people, when you go to customers and you say, I'm patent pending, it projects a sense of, oh, we're high tech, we're unique. Number two is that with a portfolio of, let's say, 3 or 4 years worth of an average of 20 patents, applications a year, you're talking about 60 patents. Now, imagine when a competitor comes in and they see that, wow, you've mined 60 bridges to entering the space. Because you're the first into the space, you've seen all the challenges that the competitor is going to see coming into this to try to duplicate you. And now if you protect that with key patents at all those bridges, somebody coming in and they have to overcome 60 different bridges to get to you. That's a damn hard thing to go. So that's why companies that go public, they generally have a good portfolio. Now, we can switch hand into being the defense side of it. As you grow, you are naturally eating revenue away from an existing competitor, right? So that competitor probably has some patents already. And so now, once you grow to a point where you're probably reaching Series C or D, you're probably likely to you're going to be faced with some sort of a threat from your competitor, from the company that you're eating market share from. And they're going to knock on your door and saying, hey, we think that you infringe our product because of X, Y, and Z. You need a good portfolio to counter that. So for a company that's going public, a nice portfolio serves both offensive as well as defensive needs. And that's why you're going to see companies that grow big, if they don't have a big patent portfolio, they're going to buy it from other people, and they're going to pay a handsome sum of money to buy the portfolio, to bring it in so that you have defensibility and uniqueness also. So you're going to pay for that cost sooner or later. So I recommend that, Mehmet, that the startups start thinking about it upfront.
I've seen this several times, especially in the tech space, without mentioning names again, when they feel that you are up to something really big. So the big guys, the big competitors, they have all the resources, they have all the lawyers, and they will start to say, hey, you are infringing, our patents, you're using our technology, blah, blah, blah. And, when I've seen a lot of cases, and, I was curious about, I don't have statistics, maybe about you have, but I think, there's a huge amount of these cases like X company versus Y, and majority of the time you see, of course, maybe sometimes they settle, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But yeah, so when the competition cannot, in their value proposition, beat you, they will try to go the legal way. And I have seen, I remember, because the example came to my mind from his own book. So Tony Fadell, the founder of Nest. So, like Honeywell went after him because, they said they took the technology and so on. So maybe if they found it thinking maybe on a smaller scale, but again, this can happen because I've seen it happening to smaller startups even with, and we are not talking about, like millions of users. We're talking about B2B, maybe software. But still, if you start to give them pain by taking market share, so this is their strategy that they're going to do. So,
yeah, of course. I mean, that's understandable. If you're in their shoe, you would then try to find everything in your arsenal to slow them down. It's a natural course of things. It's to me, I don't see anything improper about it. They're using their rights. And so, you know, if you think ahead of that, then you're staying ahead of the curve, and you, the people that thinks ahead, they can get out of that easier and better.
But, so yeah. Now, but one thing, because the patent is an asset, so it might be something, an asset by itself that I can, as you said, sell it or resell it later on or license it. So this indeed, as we discussed, it increased the valuation. So now, would that be also a good, if they decide not to go with the IPO route? So let's say they decide, you know, because some founders, I've been talking now for the past year to a lot of founders. So some of them, they say, hey, look, I'm a serial entrepreneur. The way I'm going to exit this business is I'm going to sell it to a bigger player. So this also would stay the same, right, Bao?
Yes. The dynamic is identical. The acquirer, the M&A route you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, the first thing they're going to do is say is check on whether or not how defensible you are in your IP. So actually, when you're exiting by M&A route, the patent actually becomes much more important, because most in a checklist of most of the buyer, the first thing they're going to check off is IP rights. Right. So the more you have, the safer they will feel, and they're feeling like they're buying something. And to be honest with you, I think the value of most companies these days is actually in the IP side of it. I mean, manufacturing, nobody does manufacturing anymore. Software, it can easily be copied. So the only thing that holds the value, the store of value there, is actually the IP. So it includes the patents is on the technology side, and the trademark on the branding side, right? A lot of time people buy you for your branding power. I mean, think right. of Apple. I mean, the Apple brand or the Coke brand is valuable, but it's like ethereal. You can't touch it. What is the value of a, I mean, can you touch and feel the Apple trademark or the Coke trademark? You can't, but yet you know that it has billions of dollars of value in that. So yeah, so I think that if you're thinking of exiting by selling through the M&A route, the IP is actually even more important.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you touched a couple of minutes back on using AI, and you said like they can leverage the AI for, you know, maybe putting the first draft. And I know that there are some other emerging technologies, so maybe blockchain as well. So how does this innovation, you know, can transform the way not only we file the patent, also how we can manage that?
Yes, yeah, you're touching on a great point. So on the blockchain side of it, there are companies that try to connect the IP with the license, between the licensor and licensee via the blockchain. So that's a very easy way to track the utilization of the licensing of the patents, right? As far as the AI side of it, in the legal space, we can use AI in terms of identifying trademark infringement. We can use AI in the generation of the IP. We can use AI in litigation. They call it document discovery. So the AI has a lot of use in the legal space. And but now, you know, speaking from a founder perspective, how does AI help them? And so from that perspective, I think the AI can help in terms of conceptualization and flushing out your idea in terms of expanding your initial vision of what the product is. It can certainly organize it and create the description of the idea of the invention. And then we are in my firm, we also use AI to help, in addition to drafting, to help the dealing with rejections relating to a particular technology. So our particular law firm, we heavily rely on AI to make our firm more efficient and doing providing services cost effectively. So it's a technology that I think will bring the cost down dramatically for both the entrepreneurs and to service providers worldwide. And I think that's just not limited to the legal space. That's happening. I see in accounting space. I see that definitely in marketing space. There's a lot of now, you know, like let's say if you do search engine optimization, AI can help you a lot in terms of selecting the keywords, in generating the blogs, and in fact, even in answering the search term. So AI is now dropping the cost of your business, very similar to in the old days where you have the cloud processing that's cutting your cost down. I think AI is going to be, you know, it's going to do the same thing for startups. It's going to help cut the cost down for those who know how to utilize it correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one question that can be brought, right? And this is, it's an old debate, actually. So let's say, and by the way, there are a lot of founders, even in this part of the world, you know, the first thing they do is that they incorporate their company in the US, right? So mainly Delaware, usually they do it there. And, you know, they if there's a patent, they file it. So the question that comes sometime, and I know like you have some involvement, you know, with the Boston Global Forum and the UN. So how you know, we can take this patent perspective to some other part of the world where maybe there's not the same jurisdictions that, you know, we have in the US. Now, at least I can tell you here in the UAE and in, you know, this part of the world, they are following very fast. So there are some, you know, the trademark, you know, laws are here, you know, the other things. But when it comes to patents, you know, because the last thing you want to have is you put your blood and sweat, as they say, as a founder, to come up with this technology. And then you can go find it like in a place where you cannot even do anything, right? And then, you know, you feel like someone literally, they stole your work. So should they think too much about it, or is it like a problem for another day?
No, I think that's still an important factor to consider. So we are helping a company that's basically under contract to the Bangladesh government to help their startup economy. And most of the startups and the entrepreneurs there, they focus on software because it's easy, it's global, it's transferable, right? And of course, the question is then is where do we patent? A lot of people would designate the established world, such as in the US and Europe, you know, Japan, Korea, et cetera, you know, because those are the market that they're going to enter. And of course, in their own native country. So I think part of your questions is about where should they, if they're in Middle East, why should they care about a U.S. patent, and why should, you know, and so I think you need to have a strategic view of where your market is going to be. So if you're purely only in a particular country, then of course you patent in the country that you're in. But if you're going to look forward to expanding into the U.S., then you need to have some defensibility there. And so I would name, let's say, the Chinese companies as an example. Although they started out in China, they really expand rapidly into the U.S. and into Europe, right? So if you are going to be a unicorn, you need to think global. And surprisingly, I think I find out that most of the people that I talk to, they are global in thinking. I mean, we deal with entrepreneurs in Africa, you know, fintech entrepreneurs, and a lot of them actually apply to Y Combinator in Silicon Valley, the top of the companies that are the, you know, the top of the top. They go apply at Y Combinator, even though they're based out of, let's say, Kenya. So I think that the world is becoming more global and more interconnected, and so If I were them, I would think first protecting your own country, and then second, pick the market where it's the biggest market, and you know, naturally that would be the traditional Europe, China, US, and things like that. So,
yeah. Bao, I know, we're almost coming to an end. So I know, you are an advisor, an investor in many. You don't have to disclose any sensitive information. But, part of the thing that I like to cover on the show is the trends. So, and because I'm sure, companies or, let's say, startups who get some patents would be the ones that attract you to invest and be advisor with them. So, it's like a two questions in one. So first, where are you seeing the majority of the patents filed into? I mean, in which particular, domain? And second, for you, what is the one which is, because for example, you mentioned something that's a very important, statement. You said who's doing manufacturing anymore? So everything is going software, going tech. So which one, you think really it will be be really growing fast from what you are seeing, advising and investing in these startups?
Sure. I mean, in today's, particularly in January of 2023, everything's AI, right? I mean, all these businesses, it's like the old .com era where it's like pets.com. And now you're going to probably see pets.ai. So
yeah,
very dominant in what we see. The application of AI to improve efficiency and things like that. Improved design, it can be used to improve designs. I see a lot of AI in medical device, actually. And so, and that's another area where I see, you ask, where. So I think AI and right now medical healthcare, there's a lot of uses of AI to then transform that information that used to be siloed, and now with the advent of the wearable devices and the amount of data that you have available, you see a lot of innovation coming out of traditional medical device that is now becoming software. In the old days, a medical device used to be a mechanical device, right? It used to be some sort of a stent or some sort of a bone implant. But increasingly, even the bone implant, now they have electronics and software inside of it. Your heart implant has software inside of it, right? And now just imagine you take that and now you start throwing in, a CPU with AI that can detect various other patterns to help you treat a particular disease. So I think it's natural that you'll see patenting a lot. Patent has historically been very strong in the medical space. Any kind of drugs, a patent is worth billions, right? So, and now it's, and with medical devices, you're beginning to see software eating into it. And in fact, I've seen even some pure software invention now being applied at the FDA, at the Federal Drug Administration, as a medication, because the software can virtually help you treat a condition. Like, for example, if you have your sugar level is borderline, and with a little exercise, reminder to exercise to move after lunch, it can reduce down that sugar level, and that is a kind of a medication, even though it's not chemical. So you're seeing a trend now where the FDA now is recognizing software as an important part of the medical space. So, I mean, in short of it, I think the two most powerful is anything to do with AI, and as a subpart of that, it's medical related AI. I think there's a lot of very interesting things that can happen there, and of course, now you're seeing devices that are using AI to help you become more personalized assistants. So now, is it possible that a phone can just become a device that you wear on your pin and you talk to it and it uses AI to help you? So that's the beauty of innovation. It's very hard to predict where it's going, but I can see in the short term, there's a lot of legs in AI related applications.
Absolutely. And I was lucky also to have people from the healthcare industry on the show, and you know, based on the discussions we had, I think you know the healthcare was this dormant giant. I mean, from innovation perspective, and all of a sudden now with you know data science, machine learning, AI, you know, it seems like on a acceleration phase now. You know, I can tell at least from my humble experience on the show only with the people that I talk to. And yeah, like it's fascinating how things are moving fast, because even I don't remember when the smartphone came, it took like maybe 3-4 years until we saw really, you know, the things moving that fast. And people always say this was the last time we had kind of a, you know, this important moment in history, but now AI is really accelerating us very, really fast. Bao, any final thing, you know, which I should have asked you, or any final thought you want to leave us with today?
I think we've covered a very wide swath of you know, topics. Yeah, I think each of it is extremely interesting in itself. I think the discussion really served the founders in the sense of giving them the overview that number one, IP doesn't have to be expensive. It can be made very inexpensive now, in particular if you work with the people who know how to utilize AI to help you document, right? So IP doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. And the second thing is that IP is actually a way for you to build your company valuation. Most people, when they come into this, they think, oh, it's going to be expensive. It's going to cost me a lot. I'd rather have that money spent on marketing or on engineering rather than on some legal expense. Don't think of it as a legal expense. Think of it as an asset.
As so, an investment, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's actually, you know, from a valuation, you're getting a 10x return easily. So you're beating your own investors' expectation that whatever they put money into you, they expect a 10x return. Yeah, you just by investing, let's say, 10 grand in filing a patent, you're going to easily get $150,000 worth of value. So I think that's the thing that most people don't think about, is that it's actually not an expense.
It's an eye opener, really, about thinking about all these things. Especially, and I'm happy again because, as we were discussing before and during, you know, today's episode, like it's, in my opinion, at least in the place where I live, it's an underrated topic. You know, and it was very good to hear that perspective from you. And because, you know, every founder, what they want, they want their product to go to market in a much faster way, which we discussed. They want to have better discussions with the investors, which, of course, you know, this is something every founder he want or she want to do. And exactly to your last point, the valuation, and we talked about either the route of IPO or the route of M&A, which is great. So, Bao, where people can find more about you? How they can learn more about you?
Sure, please. You can email me at btran, which is my initial plus the last name, at patentpc.com. So PatentPC is short. It's a short for Patent Professional Corporation. So btran at patentpc.com. And I will be very happy to answer any questions you may have.
Sure. I will make sure I will put this in the show notes of this episode. Again, thank you, Bao, very much for your valuable information and for all these insights you gave us today. I really appreciate it. And this is the way I end every episode. So this is for the audience. If you discovered this podcast, same as Bao has discovered, by the way, for the first time and you like it, please subscribe and tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if you are one of the fans but keep coming back and sending me their messages, thank you very much. I really appreciate all the feedbacks you are sending it to me. And we're trying to cover as much topics as possible related to the tech trends, to the startups and the entrepreneurship. So thank you very much for tuning in. And I promise we will try to get the best of the best every time. Thank you very much. And tune in for a new episode very soon.
Thank you, Mehmet.
Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with your tech-savvy friends and fellow entrepreneurs, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Your support means the world to us.